Is everybody awake today?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to preach until everybody's smiling. So look over at your neighbor. If they're not smiling, say, hey, get over it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. Just get over it. Just smile, smile. Smile, be happy. You know, a frown never changed your situation anyway. So smile, and everybody wonder what you're up to. That'll be good. All right. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about worship today and about, you know, Pastor Angela just killed it last week. She was amazing. And matter of fact, somebody asked me this week, said, who's preaching tomorrow? And I said, yesterday, and I said, well, I am. And they said, and you need to let your wife preach. She's way better than you. And I'm like, that's the only reason I let her preach twice a year, because I get fired. So I only let her up a couple times a year. And so she's going to be up tonight, though. If you're a lady, you can get to hear her tonight. But she was amazing last week. And then John Wonder Jim says some amazing things already that we back up just a few days ago about really helping us to understand what generosity is. I haven't got over that yet. About an attitude of generosity. And then Pastor Joel talked to us the following week, and really there were some things he said that just rocked me too. And I think when we understand that, you know, Angela's talking about having a heart of worship. But you know what? We want to become a living worship, a vessel that's full of the glory of God. And because we live in a world where people need the light of Jesus in their life. And so as we become living worship, we change the environment around us. And I love that song that we sang last week. It says, I love, how'd it go? When the music fades, there it is, and all is stripped away. When everything else is gone, when the music's fade and everything's stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. When everything else is gone in our life, when all of us done and the music fades, I want to bring you something, Lord, that's my best. And there's nothing like being a part of and coming to experience like Sunday morning worship. And hey, our worship team, they're amazing.
Amen.
You know what makes them amazing, though, is they're worshipers.
Right.
And I love that about them. Hey, they got great skill, but on top of that, heart of worship. And that heart of worship changes the atmosphere, but it's not just what happens in here that's important. It's what happens in our everyday life. And when everything is stripped away from us, do we still have a heart of worship? Oftentimes we relate our worship to something like the place that we go, or something where we're at, or something we do. What we can change that heart of worship this morning by becoming worship. By becoming worship. I want to become a move of God. I want to become the life of worship. And when people see me on the street, I want them not to ask me, you know, where do you go to church? That, really? I want them to know that I'm a worshiper of the King. And so I want to talk to you today about that. And we go through the motions of worship. How many know we could go through the mechanics? We come to church, we go through the mechanics of worship. And how many knew that today, you know, I kind of try to trick you a little bit today. We go through the mechanics of worship. We walk in, and we come in about middle of the first song because we're late. Just kind of threw that in there. And we come in kind of the middle of the first song, and we know it's kind of be a little upbeat. And then after the first song, the music's going to fade a little bit, and the lights are going to dim a little bit, and then we're going to have a couple more songs, and then somebody's going to get up here and say something really awesome. We're going to have a transition, and we're going to take up the offering. And we kind of get this mechanical thing set in our mind of how it's going to go. And we're just waiting on that to happen. I probably should have done this today because I thought about it last service. Like, all of a sudden, just have strobe lights go off and blinking everywhere and everything just kind of mess you up. I bet that happened. Y'all all go like, what happened? Because we get in this mindset of what worship looks like and what worship ought to be. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, we start, like Pastor Joel said about, we start having this preference or our style. We say our style of worship can determine our experience of worship. That shouldn't be. Whatever style of worship's going on, if I'm a worshiper, it can be any style of music. If my heart is a heart of worship, it doesn't matter what the song is. It matters what my heart is. And when I get a heart of worship, then I walk into this place. And it's okay. It's okay to have, let me clarify something. I didn't say this last service. I need to say this, sir. It's okay to have a preference. All right? Let me just give you an example. I have never liked country music. If you like country music, God bless you. May the Lord be with you. But I don't like country music, man. I don't like it. I'm a rock and roller, man. I like some good old, rock and roll. I like that old time of rock and roll. So I'm a rock and roller. So I've never liked country music. So if you start, of course, I can't tell the difference now. People say that's a country song. I'm like, well, that sounds like an old 70s rock song. It's all confusing today, like a lot of other things. But did I just say that? It's okay to have a preference how we like music. But here's the deal. When we're worshipers, it doesn't matter about our preference when we walk into a place of worship. Our whether we're Southern gospel or we're contemporary or whatever you want to name it, or we got some good old soul music or whatever we got going on, I want to be a worshiper from the inside out. You ever been around somebody and said, well, the church's pretty good today. I really didn't, the worship was all right. I just didn't really feel anything. I always want to ask them, I don't, but I'm like, did you like the song? Not really, I didn't like that song. So the whole issue is you quit worshiping because you didn't like the song. This is going to be a fun day, I can tell you right now. Hey, we're not worshiping songs, we're worshiping Jesus. We're worshiping Jesus. So, and you don't have to worship like I do. You can worship like you want to worship. When Angela and I first got married, I would always, I like to get out and dance around the floor and jump up and down and stuff. And so, we evangelized and we'd go out preaching places and I'd get out, whoa, let's go worship. And I'd get her by the hand and I'd drag her up there, like, come on, let's go worship. One day I drug her up there, let's worship. And she's like, after we got in the car, and she said, if you ever do that to me again, I'm going to embarrass you. I do not jump. I do not dance. I got no mojo. I don't have no groove. Don't ask me to do that. Let me worship the way I worship. But you know what? Sometimes I see her on the keys or wherever she's at and tears flowing down her face. I mean, it don't have to be a slow song or a fast song because it's the heart of worship coming out of her and just tears flowing in her face. And I was like, God, I want to do that. And he goes, no, you're a dancer. Just go dance, son. You ain't got no tears in you. Go get you. Just go dance. We all are created to worship. And God wants us to connect with worship, with a heart of worship, which is what Pastor Angela spoke on last week. But I'm talking about moving into a lifestyle of worship. Doing more than just going through the motions or just having a Sunday morning experience. So we measure oftentimes on how our worship experience was through a feeling or an idea. But the real worship is knowing who He is. True worship comes out of knowing who Jesus is. I'm reminded of the story of the woman at the well. Jesus was tired from His journey and He sat down at the rest at Jacob's well outside the city of Sychar. And He's sitting there and the afternoon, long after most of the women of the city had come to draw water, and they usually came in the early morning, but there was this particular Samaritan woman who shows up in the heat of the day. Now, Jesus had done something that I don't know what your theology is on this, but He had sent His disciples to get food, and my personal opinion is it was a setup. Don't you know He kind of knows what's going on? And so He sent His disciples away to go get food. And He sat at the well. And here comes this woman. And He looks at this woman who's approaching him, and he says, "Can I have something to drink?" She was astonished because Jesus, being a Jewish man, Jews would even consider drinking from the same cup as a Samaritan. And so her question back to him was, "Where's your cup, or where's your vessel to drink from?" And he said to her in that moment, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you would ask me for a drink." I'm going to say it again. If you only knew who I am, if you only could comprehend the gift that our Father wants to give you, you would be asking me for something to drink. If you drink from this well, you're going to thirst again. You drink from this well, you'll leave here. You'll have to come back tomorrow to this well, to this place. You'll have to return and you'll have to fill your buckets again tomorrow. But if you drink from the well that I'm talking about of living water, you will never thirst again. It's going to change your life forever. It's going to forever satisfy you. The well of living water comes from the ever-flowing fountain of the Holy Spirit, and from the and it just floods out of us. It's endless. It's overflowing with love. This well that the Lord is talking about in this passage of Scripture is a supernatural well. It's a place of the Spirit. It's a place that a well that is not dug in the ground, but it's dug within you. It's placed within you. It's a well of living water. And I love this part where he begins to operate in the gift of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And he said, "Go get your husband." And she says, "Well, I'm not married." And then Jesus says, "This is true. But you've been married 5 times, and the man that you live with now is not your husband." Now, today we would say, if a pastor would say that, we'd say, "Oh, that is so condemning that you just called her out. You just called that poor lady out. You told her to go get her husband, and she said she didn't have one. You said, yeah, you're right, you've had 5 husbands. How can I believe you'd say that to her? That's not correct. Surely not politically correct. So why in the world would you say that? That's so condemning. But Jesus did. The Scripture tells us that Jesus did not come to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus had no motive of condemning the lady. It was a revelation that he was wanting to give her. The revelation was this: I want to reveal to you this important thing. I want to reveal to you who I am. She already knew who she was. She already knew the problems in her life. She already knew the mistakes that she had made. We all know the problems in our own life. But Jesus was saying to this woman, "I want to reveal to you who I am. Because if you ever understand who I am, it's going to change your life." So when Jesus was talking about this water, she was thinking he was speaking of this place in the natural. Jesus was revealing the water, the living water, the water that flows from within. He was revealing the eternal source. But before you can have a real understanding of this water, you must have an understanding of Jesus. You got to know who he is. You got to have a relationship with him. You got to come to know him. Before you can really ever experience the giver of life, you've got to meet the giver of life. There's something about knowing who Jesus is that changes everything in your life. And oftentimes, we come to church and we know about Jesus, but we don't know who Jesus is. We don't understand who Jesus really is. We have this church concept of Jesus, but not an intimacy with Jesus. We don't really know who he is. We don't really understand everything about him. We don't understand the heart of him a lot of times. Justin, come up here. I didn't see the cotton top there. Come here. I know this guy. We've hung out together. We fished together. I've even hit him in the head before. I know him. But you know what? I don't really know him. Let me explain to you. I have no idea what his favorite food is. I know he likes to eat. But I know he likes to eat, but I don't know him. I mean, I don't know. What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
There you go, son. I don't know his. I don't know what his favorite. I just found that out. Where are you going? I ain't told you. So I know him. I know his name. Matter of fact, I don't even know where you live. I know you live over there somewhere. I don't know your address. I don't even know that. So I all these things in life, we think we know people, and we really don't know people. We don't know what color of shoes they like to wear, or what color shirt they like, what their favorite color is, and where they like to go, and what their, I know his favorite pastime is fishing, but I don't know all of these details about someone. And sometimes we say we know Jesus, but do we really know Jesus? Have we really had an encounter with Jesus? Thank you. Have we really had an encounter with Jesus that is life-changing? Now, this chick right here, I know her. I know her. She can be across the room and lift her eyebrow. Man, I know I'm in trouble. Come on. I know her. And I have a relationship with her that after 24 years, we can be in the room not saying anything and saying a whole lot. How many knows what I'm talking about? Like, well, that whole conversation and nobody said a word because you know them. You know, I know what she loves. I know what her favorite clothes are. I know what her favorite food is. I know all those things about her. And if I want to make her happy, I would get her some rich Italian food. And man, she's happy. She loves rich Italian food. You know, it's got noodles and spaghetti, and it's got cheese on it. It's got red sauce on it. Man, she's like in heaven. All carbs. Just carb it up, baby. And you can have a little bowl of rice with it if you want. She just loves that. I know what she loves. I know that there are things that make her happy. I told the kids for Mother's Day, I said, look, you guys can go out and buy something for your mom if you want, but if you just write your mom a letter or just give her a note, that'll make her more happy than anything you can buy her. Because she loves words. It means a lot to her. And so we know these things, and so there's an intimacy between us. There's a relationship between us they don't even need emotion, to be honest with you. It's committed. It's forever. And we know each other. But so many times we come to church and we sit in church and we go through the motions and we go through our worship, but we never have an encounter with Jesus. We never have an encounter that is life-changing. That all of a sudden we know and now have the heart of the Father. We experience church and we measure it Sunday after Sunday on the level of feeling or emotion that we have, but not on who He is and why we're here and the purpose of the kingdom of God. And worship then becomes an event. Worship then is a place that we go. It's something we do, but it's not a lifestyle. And God wants us to have a relationship with Him that our worship becomes a lifestyle so that everything we do is worship. When we go to work, it's worship. When we clean the house, it's worship. When we mow the grass, it's worship. When we love our kids, when we do things for our kids, and when we discipline our kids, when whatever we're doing to raise them, everything that we do becomes worship because we know the Father. We've had an encounter with Him. And let me tell you something. You can't have a one-time encounter and expect a long-term relationship. That was better than your hand clap. You can't have... Listen, I said, hey, baby, we're going to get married. We're going to get our marriage certificate. I don't even know where it's at. We're going to hang it on the wall. And we're never going to talk again. You move to that end of the house, and I'll move to this end of the house. And it's going to be peaceful bliss the rest of our lives. I don't know that's going to last about how long. the paper won't even turn yellow before that'll be over. Because we have to have an encounter. We have to have that relationship. And Jesus does not want you to have a one-time relationship. He said, I've come to give you water to drink that you will never thirst again. It's going to be a fountain flowing deep inside you. It's going to be birthed out of an intimacy and a relationship with me that's going to be everlasting. And so at this moment, she realizes that something's different about this guy at this well. He's not the John Doe just come by to get a drink of water. And she's convicted in her heart, but yet she's drawn by the Spirit of God. Listen, I just got to say this right now. Who wants to go to a church where there's no conviction? Ooh, I don't want to go. That. Listen, I want to be drawn by the Spirit. There needs to be some conviction in our life. That's right. Hey, listen, conviction's a good thing. You ought to just say, God, I want to embrace conviction in my life. What does conviction do? It brings you closer to the heart of the Father. And so there's this great conviction going on in her life, but at the same time, there's this great response to who he is. And she goes, how did you know all that stuff about me? You must be the Messiah, the anointed one that they've been talking about is coming. You must be the prophet. And then she got into this real interesting conversation with him. She said, but wait, your people say that we have to go to Jerusalem to worship. Our people say we have to go to the mountain to worship their God. So which one of these is right? Do we go to Jerusalem to worship like your people, or do we go to the mountains to worship like our people? And Jesus says, the truth is, you won't go to Jerusalem, nor will you go to any mountain to worship. Now that you know who I am, for I am the way, the truth, and the light, now that you know that, you're going to find that yourself worshiping right where you are. He said, the time has come that all the worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. No longer will you need to go to a place of worship, but you will become worship. And once you've had an encounter with Jesus, you're forever changed. When I came to the Lord, I had a real encounter with God. I was raised in church, but when I had an encounter with Jesus, it changed my life. I was remembering yesterday as I was driving down the road, I was thinking about the love of God. How many remembers when you first got saved, how the love of God just crushed you? It was so awesome. I remember standing in front of my dad's office one time. I was supposed to be mowing the grass. I'd been picking up trash, getting ready to mow the grass. And I stood there, and with great compassion, I began to weep over the souls. As I saw cars driving down the highway, down the road in front of my dad's office, I began to weep over souls. Great compassion for people came on my heart because there was an encounter with God that had changed my life. No longer was this whole thing of going to church about me. It transformed my life. I remember people telling me, say, hey, man, I know you're excited now, but calm down. You'll get over your excitement. Listen, 30 years later, I'm more crazy for Jesus than I've ever been in my whole life. I'm more excited about my relationship with the Lord. And as I've grown in the Lord, I've grown closer and closer to the Lord because I keep having encounters with him. And because I keep having encounters with him, I keep growing in the Lord. I become more knowledgeable of who he is. And because I become more knowledgeable of who he is, I hope that my identity or who I am becomes more like him. That's good preaching right there. No longer will you need to go to a place. Now, I love church. Don't get me wrong. It's going to sound like for the next few moments I'm preaching against church. I'm not preaching against church. I love Sunday morning. I can't hardly wait to get here. This is one of the most exciting times of my life. Because you guys are my family. I love you. It's exciting to come to church. And you know what? I like to be prepared. So everything's in order. We got everything fine-tuned, ready to go. Services set up, ready to go. Because, you know, I like to be outside shaking hands. Hey, man, good morning. How you doing? Hugging them necks, loving them people. I'm excited about Sunday morning. I'm excited about Monday night prayer. I love Monday night prayer. I love just when the family of God gets together and we get together and pray and we press in and there's supernatural things happening. Matter of fact, I love Wednesday night when I'm not even invited because it's youth and children's. I like to come up here and hang out because I love people and I love the presence of God. I love church. But let me help you this morning. Church is not a relationship with God. Did you hear me? You can come to church every day and still not know Jesus. It's not till you have that encounter with Him that changes everything in your life. And so Jesus said to her, you can go to Jerusalem, fine, but you got to, that's not the answer. We're going to have to go to the mountains where we have set up idolatry and we've set up things and we call it a place of worship. And we got to tear some things down in our lives. Now hear me today, I'm going to be just straight. I'm going to say some straight things today. You know what you love. Come on. You know what you love. And listen, you anything that you love more than God is idolatry. Amen. If you can't say amen, just nod like this. Go, yep, that's good, Pastor, right there. Anything, just yep, there you go. Anything that you love more than God is idolatry. If it's your wife, if it's your husband, if it's your kids, if it's your church, if it's your car, I better stop. I'll be talking about somebody's boat or their deer stand. Or their shopping buggy. Oh, come on, somebody get the organ. We have to tear down those idols in our life. We can only focus on one affection, and that's Him. An idol is an image or a material or an object that we can worship other than God, our Father. And any of those things become idolatry in our life. When our affection is a church building or a pastor or a leader or a style, you're in trouble. Let me just say this to you. Are y'all ready for this? Listen, if I haven't offended you already, hang around, I will. Amen? Amen. 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 All the people that are on our staff, amen. Have you ever been offended by pastor? Shout amen. Amen. There you go. Well, you say, well, pastor, you no, listen, I'm a human being. I get up every morning and I put my pants on just like everybody else. And some days I think everybody's ugly and mean and I don't like nobody. Amen. Amen. Now, don't get spiritual with me. You have them days too. Let's be honest. How many just days you just think everybody's awful and you wish they'd get out of your way? Yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You walk up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, if you do that every day, we need to talk. But there's occasional times that you just think, oh, my God, let's shoot everybody and tell God they died. So if church and leadership and the people around you is your God, guess what? Your God's about to fall. And if that's what you worship, you're in big trouble. Because there's no perfect church and there's no perfect leadership. And I love what people says, if you find a perfect church, don't go because you'll mess it up. We're imperfect people. We live in an imperfect world, but when our affection is on Jesus and we get up every day, look, I'm just going to get crazy here. I read some of this stupid stuff people put on Facebook. My Lord, you ought to throw that Facebook out the window if you can't say nothing with a little common sense. They get a little offended. Oh, I'm so offended with the church and blah, 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 blah. Well, you're worshiping the church. I'm offended with my small group leader. Well, what's your object of worship? I'm offended. Well, they put this on there too. I'm offended with my husband. I don't want to hear about it. Let me preach about that while I'm on that. Quit hanging all your dirty laundry out on Facebook, for heaven's sakes. Side note. Our object and our affection is for Him. And so, you know what? When we get offended, it doesn't change our position of worship. As a matter of fact, when you offend me, I can get over my offense if He's my affection. But if you're in my affection, I get hung up. And it's just like being in a big old mud hole and you're just digging out, and you're just trying to get, and all you're doing is digging yourself deeper. And your offense is taking you to a place that you don't want to go. Because when you have one of those little pity parties, You get your little hat out, you get your little blowhorn out, and you're having your little pity party, and nobody likes me. Everybody's just me. And the devil's going to be the one that shows up at your party, and he's just laughing his head off at you. People said, Pastor, you need to have testimony service. I was like, I'm scared to do that because we'll have somebody stand up and say, well, the devil's been chasing me around all week long. Oh, please. Get in your position of worship. The devil cannot handle worship. When you're a worshiper, the enemy runs and flees. Somebody said, well, the devil's in it. Look, get up and worship. No, I'm not. No, time out. Don't put music on and do a jig and call it worship if your affection's not toward him. Matter of fact, you can pray words and it just not do anything simply because your affection's not toward him. Listen, I got this little revelation in the last service, so I'm going to share it with you today. You can make the ideal of Jesus idolatry and not know Jesus. Oh, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. Really? 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 You live offended? You live angry? You live broken? You live with all this stuff in your life and you know Jesus? That's not the Jesus I serve. Come on, y'all smile. Pastor loving you. No, what you have an idea of Jesus that you like.
Amen.
And so when you pray, it's almost like giving orders.
Amen.
He said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Well, I ain't got nothing to be thankful about. You're breathing.
Exactly.
Well, I don't have anything to worship for. Oh, yes, you do. How many walk to church today? If you walk to church, raise your hand. Karen, praise God. And she is up here worshiping. Praise God. How many haven't eaten in like a month because you just don't have any money and nobody loves you? Raise your hand. We have so much to be thankful for. And we can get our focus on the things that are not perfect in our life. And we become cry babies. I don't know what else to say. Oh, my life is so bad. If this is your idea of going to church, if I could just get to church, I know I'm going to make it another week. Oh, Lord, you're out of gas already. Listen, when you feel that way, say, ooh, time out. Time for a praise break right here. It's time for me to start thinking of all the good things that God has done for me. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you today, and I say this with as much love as I possibly can. If you live in that place, you've not had an encounter with Jesus like you should. Or you had an encounter with Jesus a long time ago, and you need another encounter with Jesus. Come on. I like to have an encounter with Jesus every day. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I didn't speak in tongues one time way back there. I speak in tongues every day. I speak in tongues more than all you. There's tongues, you know, every day I'm getting in his presence. Every day I'm praising him. Every day I'm worshiping him. And when life gets bad, that's when you ought to amp up your worship. But here's what we've done. We're the American church, so this is how we worship. Is the air right? Did they start on time? Are we getting out on time? Did somebody sit in my seat?
Amen.
They ran out of donuts before we got there? Oh, my God. We keep running out of donuts, by the way. Would you please order some more? I don't want to affect anybody's worship. Everything, all the conditions have to be right for me to be a worshiper. What if I said that this next 2 months we're going to have a tent revival? And we're just going to go set up a tent. And every Sunday it's going to be in a different location. We're going to go find a vacant lot in a subdivision, and we're going to set up a tent and have a revival there one Sunday. We're going to go set up another tent and have a revival there the next Sunday. And we're going to go set up, well, Pastor, I can tell you right now, it's going to be 100 degrees outside, and my makeup's going to be running, and I'm going to be hot, and I won't see you. Been nice. That church down the street's got air. Because we've conditioned our worship around an idea.
Amen.
Our worship is very conditional. We was in Haiti a couple years ago, and they had this little Casio keyboard. It couldn't have been more than $100, like the cheapest Casio you can get. Like little keys missing on it. It's pitiful. And they was running it with two batteries. Remember that? Had two batteries sitting over there. They were running, car batteries, they were running it off of. They had to keep making sure the wires tied on there good. And they had this set of drums, and this set of drums looked like it was like, we'd have thrown them in the trash. They were just bad. The cymbals were split. It was just terrible. Those wooden benches, and the church was, at that point, they got a building now, but the church was a tarp. And when I tell you it was stretched over a scary looking sticks that they made the building out of, I was like, Lord Jesus. You remember that night the storm came? Storm started blowing that tarp. So pop, 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 pop. I was like, hallelujah, time to go to the house. But you know what? Their worship was pure. And they began to worship, man, the presence of God. Just come in that place. It was so awesome. It was so sweet. It was so beautiful. They didn't worry about the mosquitoes that was biting. They didn't have a toilet. I'm just going to be real about this. The toilet was the little ladies that had to go outside and find a dark spot in the shadows and squat in the grass to use the bathroom. And if we have one toilet out of three broke, we get emails. Listen, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm trying to help you to understand. We have conditioned our worship around an atmosphere that's not about Jesus. Because our affections are not set upon Him. Now, just to make y'all feel good, I'm not turning the air off, and we're not having a tent revival, and we'll have plenty of toilet paper next Sunday. It's all going to be good. But that can't be our affection. That can't be the reason we come to the house of God. That can't be the reason we get up in the morning. We got to get up tomorrow morning on Monday morning when there's no band playing and there's no worship singers and there's none of that going on. And we just go after the presence of God. He's a good, good Father. There's nothing wrong with our preference, but there's something wrong when our preference becomes an idol. But the things that we love more than Jesus have become our worship. The scripture says that He's a jealous God. It's kind of funny. I love that because He tells us not to be jealous. So He reserved jealousy for Himself. Think about how jealous that is. Now, He tells us not to be jealous of one another, but He has reserved jealousy for Himself. Now, put that in perspective. His compassion for us is so great that He said, I'm going to take jealousy and I'm going to be a jealous God over you. I'm just crazy about you, Danielle. I'm crazy about you. Jesus gets up in the morning and He's thinking about your life and He's thinking about your best and He's loving you and He's a jealous God. And He said, I want you to love me back with that kind of worship that you love me more than anything else in the world. Jealous for us. And after you've encountered Him, let me say something. I think this is so awesome. After Jesus had this encounter with this beautiful lady at the well, something supernatural happened. Shame, guilt, rejection leaves her. The reason she's at the well that day is because she came because there was so much shame and rejection in her life that she came to the well at a different time of the day so she didn't have to encounter the women who would talk about her. But when she had an encounter with Jesus Everything changed in her life. And she says, man, I got something to share. No longer is this worship idea an event or those things, but it's becoming my lifestyle. Once you've tasted of this living water of heaven, you can no longer be satisfied with the earthly things. The word of the Lord says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Y'all smile. This is a smiling day. Look over at your neighbor and say, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. All's going to be good. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the moment that I wake up. And I'm not going to love anything greater than I'm going to love God. My heart is fixed upon Him. My soul longs for Him. As the deer panteth after the water brook, Lord, so does my soul long for You. I'm going to get up rejoicing. My life is going to be a life of worship. And Jesus says to her, that person that you're talking about, you're speaking to him. You now have met the Master. I love this next part. After every true encounter with Jesus, you become an evangelist. When people get the real thing, man, they're going to tell everybody. Listen, how many was wishing you won that lottery last week but $400 million? Come on. Hey, if you'd have won that, would you just like, I ain't telling nobody. My life's not going to change. I'm going to keep driving this old car. I built the biggest house you ever seen. You pull up my house, I'd be like, look at that house. Woo, I won the lottery. I'd go buy me a Cadillac. Or a Nissan. My life would change. If I won the lottery, I wouldn't change my life at all. You lied. Your life would change. It would change. But you've won something greater than anything else when you have a relationship with God. And you, if you really have an encounter with Him, you're going to change the world around you. You're going to get excited. You're going to tell everybody, look what the Lord has done in my life. It's so exciting.
Right.
I love the story about the man in the tombs and is possessed with demons. And he has this encounter with Jesus that radically changed his life. And the cool part of that story was that when Jesus walked into his presence, even though he was possessed with devils, the Bible says that he fell down and began to worship him. Listen, you can't really get in the presence of God and not become. There's something supernatural happens when you get in the presence of God. You can't get in the presence of God and not become. Let me say it one more time. You can come to church and never get in the presence of God, but you can't get in the presence of God and not be changed. And so after this encounter with Jesus in Mark 5, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might go with him. But he did not permit him to, but he said to him, go to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you. And he went and he began to proclaim how much Jesus had done in his life. Jesus said, look, when you have an encounter with me, I want you not just to go, okay, well, I joined the church. I'm a member now. No, we're not here about membership. We're here about transformation. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, there's going to be something that's supernatural that happens in your life. You've got to go tell somebody that Jesus is Lord. And I might say to you today, if you're not sharing the gospel and excited about the kingdom of God, you need a fresh encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. If you're not excited about the kingdom of God, you need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus. A life-changing encounter. True worship. A time will come when we shall worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. For he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, life. No one comes next to the Father except through the union with me. To know me is to know my Father. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen Him and experienced Him. Now, I want to say that your walk with God ought to be more than going to church. It ought to be an experience. You need to experience. You need to experience the Father's love. You need to experience the healing power of God. You need to experience the joy of the Lord. You need to experience all of those great things that God does in your life. It's an experience. And when you have that encounter, there's no denying it. Worship team can come. Once we've had an encounter with Him, everything in our life changes. He's the objection. He is the object of our affection. It's not where. It's not how. It's who. I want you to say that with me. It's not where. It's not how. It's who. I want somebody to grab a Bible. Grab a Bible, Brandon. I want you to turn to Psalms 150. I want to talk to you just a little bit. I'm going to close the service about worship. Everybody can do something to worship. We're all worshipers. I'm going to say it one more time. We're going to worship something, so why not worship Jesus? God's going to do something great in our life today if we just press into His presence and say, God, I've just come to love You. You got it? Come on up. Come up here. You're going to read it. All right. Wait, give him a mic. He's a preacher. He has to have a mic. Just read the text.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him right. We're in the sanctuary, but what is the sanctuary? You don't know how to do this old school stuff?
No.
I'll teach you. You just go along with it. Just praise Him. What is His sanctuary? This building? What is the sanctuary? He said, you are the temple of God. If this is what you're worshiping, can you please give me some money to replace the carpet? If this is what you're worshiping, can we build a bigger building? There should be enough money just to build a bigger building. This is what we're worshiping. But He said, we are the sanctuary of God. We're the holy place. Come on, read on.
Praise Him in His mighty
Praise Him in the mighty heavens. That belongs to Him.
Praise Him for His mighty works.
Praise Him for His mighty works. Well, I don't have anything to praise God about. Yes, you do. God's done some great things in your life. You got a lot to praise God for. I want you right now, if you've never been healed, if you've never been set free, God's never touched your life, then you're exempt from this. But if God's done something awesome for you, I want you to stand on your feet right now and give God praise. Read on.
Praise His unequaled greatness.
There ain't nothing. There's nothing greater than Him. Go ahead.
Praise Him with a blast of a ram's horn.
I don't have a ram's horn, so I'm like, woo! All right.
Praise Him with the lyre and harp.
Okay, we don't have one of those either, but praise God for that. Read
praise
on.
Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing.
All right. Now listen, I know some of y'all dance because I see your Facebook page. You dancing where you don't need to be dancing. And then when you come to the house of God and you can't get your dance on. Come on, let me get up here. You can't. Oh, I'm in church now. You was dancing last night. Just saying. Look at your neighbor and say, keep smiling. He's preaching good. Somebody ought to dance for God right now.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to just just dance. Just dance. Oh, I ain't got no music. I can't dance. Oh, really? You ain't got anything to praise God about? You can only dance if there's music? So what are you worshiping? You worship music? Are you worshiping God?
That's good.
Nobody danced yet. Read on. Thank you, Happy.
Strings and flutes.
Praise Him what? Go on.
Praise Him with clash of cymbals.
Come on.
Trace him with loud clanging cymbals.
Come on, loud clanging cymbals. Go ahead.
Let everything that has breath sing praises to the Lord.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to look around and see if anybody's not breathing. Is everybody breathing in the place? Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done this week. I really made a bad mistake in my life. And I did something that was wrong. So I can't. I feel so guilty worshiping God. I just can't. What is that? Listen, he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for worship. You saying, Pastor, is it okay to sin? No, I'm not writing a ticket for sin. I'm writing a ticket that overcomes sin. When we come into his presence and we encounter him and we have this intimacy with God, he don't look at us and say, okay, woman at the well. Excuse my French today, but I'm just going to be real. Okay, so you're a bad woman. The hell you go. That's not what he said to her. You're such a terrible person. You can never worship me. He said, the time has come and now is when you're about to have an encounter that's going to change your life. Listen, when you've done something that you feel, listen, that's when you need to come in the house of God or get up in the morning or wherever you're at. You don't have to be in church driving down the road. And man, you start, the devil starts putting condemnation on you. You ought to turn that into, oh, hallelujah. I'm about to sing and praise God. I'm about to worship my way out because I feel like the walls are tumbling. If you've been locked up in a prison because you've done well, why don't you worship God? If you got sickness in your body, don't walk out on me now. I'm preaching. I wasn't talking to whoever's walking out. Hey, listen, oh, well, Pastor, I'm sick. I couldn't come to church. You ought to come to church when you're sick because people got healed this morning. You went to the doctor when you were sick, didn't you? And you waited in a room for about 3 hours. I took Holly to the emergency room the other night. I waited and we waited and waited and waited. And then they had some trauma happen. And they had this happen. And somebody broke out in a fight over there. And we just got pushed down the list. Well, I ain't waiting no longer. If God don't touch me right now, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. I ain't going back to church. I ain't worshiping no more. My life is bad. Well, guess what? It's going to get worse. If it was bad now, it's about to get worse. Worser. Is that a word? It's about to get real bad. So you need to just say, oh, God, I'm about to worship. I'm about to lift my voice up to God because there's about to be a transformation. Why? Because I'm not worshiping nobody but Jesus. And he is my all in all. He is my identity. He is my source. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my healing. He's my salvation. He's everything to me. And I can't play a guitar, and I can't play the drums, and I can't sing worth a flip. But let me tell you something. I got breath inside of me, and I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to lift up my voice, and I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm not going to let any rocks take my place. I'm not going to let somebody else move me over. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a life changer. I'm going to be an atmosphere changer. And wherever I go, I'm going to change the atmosphere around me because my heart is fixed on Jesus. So you're here today, and maybe you've never had an encounter with the Lord. Today's your day. Today is the day to have an encounter with Jesus. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm being serious. For the next few minutes, I don't want nobody walking around. I don't want any distractions. Because I want all of our affection and our focus set up on Jesus. I want everybody in here that's a worshiper, I want you to give everything you've got to Jesus. The atmosphere is changing. I don't mean the atmosphere in this room is. I mean the atmosphere is changing everywhere I go. I'm more in love with Jesus than ever before. Listen, if you're in this place this morning and you're going through marital problems, I'm challenging you today. Be a worshiper. Right. If you're in this place today, look, when we begin to worship, what happens in the service? We begin to worship at this beginning of the service. The atmosphere changed. Healing stepped into the room. Miracles begin to take place. I am becoming a part of a live, living worship. Let me tell you one more story before I let you go. I was at the coffee shop this week and I was studying. And this young lady came in. She's probably 25 years old, attractive young lady. She sat down across from me. And I noticed something about her that was just kind of bugging me. Not in the spirit. I just... And so, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. I was kind of like, well, these young people. You know, I'd be an old geezer. These young people. I had this little thought. And as I was sitting there, the girl got on the phone and she started talking to someone. She's talking about somebody's blood count being bad and da-da-da. And I overheard her speaking. And the Lord said, go tell her that I've heard her prayers and that I love her. And immediately I said, ain't no way I'm walking over there. I'm some old dude walking up to some young girl over there in the middle of all these people sitting around and say, hey, excuse me. So I was protecting my image, you know. And the Lord said, I heard you. And he said, go over there and tell her that I've heard her prayers and I love her. And I said, okay. So I got up and I went to the restroom, hoping that she'd be gone when I got back and I could blame it on that. And the Lord would understand, right? She was still sitting there. And she got on the phone with somebody that was probably a medical profession, and she started talking to them. She said, I hate to bother you. And she shared with them, and then she talked a little more, and she teared up. And so I said, Lord, I can't go over there and talk to her. And I looked down at my notes, and I'm preaching about the woman at the well, and the Lord said, really? Okay. So I walked over. I said, hey, honey. I said, I don't know you, and I don't know who you're talking about. I said, but I overheard your conversation, and I just want to tell you that I asked her, I said, are you a believer? She goes, yes, I pray every night. I said, well, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you, and he's heard your prayers. She busted into tears, and she said, I needed to hear that right now. So bad. She began to weep. It's a good thing I got over being worried about my image, because she jumped up and grabbed, bear hugged me like I was her boyfriend in front of all these people. And at that moment, God just began to move in the atmosphere. Listen, I'm not talking bragging on me today. I'm talking about at that moment, she had an encounter with Jesus. At that moment, there was an encounter that changed the atmosphere where she was just a moment ago feeling lost and feeling like, what's going to happen? My life is crumbling around me. Now Jesus moves into the room, and there's an encounter with the Lord. Can I help you today to understand that God has called you to be an atmosphere changer? Amen. And it's going to come through a heart of worship when our worship moves things. And no longer should we say, I'm waiting on a move of God. We should say, I am a move of God. I am. I'm no longer waiting on a move of God, but I am a move of God. Listen, I've been in this thing for 30 years, and I've heard every sermon in the world, and I've heard them preach. We're on the brink of something great. We're always on the threshold of something supernatural. We're just about there. And the reason we never get there is because we never move. Now, I'm not saying we, because I believe we're moving. But listen, I am no longer waiting on a move of God. I am the move of God. I am the pool of Bethesda. Right. I am the atmosphere changer. I am the creator of a miracle. Pastor, that sounds sacrilegious. No, God has put in me his spirit, and there's healing inside of me, and there's miracles inside of me. All I got to do is step into a place of worship and obedience to God, and I change the atmosphere around me.